Whoa, hello. This is your regularly scheduled episode, but we actually have a little statement I want to give before we start. As you guys know, I have two rules. Number one, I never write show notes. And number two, I never do the Kermit the Frog voice. But we got a kid. We got a kid send in a letter, and they're, you know, make a wish, not a long time to live. And they want me to read this Star Wars quote on air.
The kid sounds lucky.
In a Kermit the Frog voice, which you guys are going to hear, the kid won't, so we'll see who's lucky on there. See, now that I'm looking at it, I'm getting Kermit stage fright, you know? The frog's
I believe in you, Alex. You got this.
There's Kermit the Frog here. Okay, okay, he's here. He's in the room. Don't look at him. The thought of not being with you, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I'm haunted by the kiss that you should never have given me. My heart is beating, hoping that kiss will not become a scar. You are my very soul, tormenting me. What can I do? I will do anything you ask. If you're suffering as much as I am, please tell me, Miss Piggy. Oh, okay. Thank you. And hey, good luck to the kid. Good old little Jean-Luc. You'll be okay. This is Crying in the Book Club, episode 57. Wow, we're here. We're queer.
I have so many thoughts.
Happy Pride Month. Hey, you haven't been introduced, so you can't.
No, but you look like the villain from The Acolyte when you did that. Like, the way your hair was and your facial hair a little bit.
Like, that's the highest compliment. He's so hot.
You can beat the shit out of him. He's
hot.
So
hot.
Literally, the reason that I'm gonna, after we finish recording this episode, watch some of Star Wars The Acolyte.
He's hot. I will say I've seen the last episode of the season. It's a good episode. On the whole, fun
Hell
stuff.
Yeah.
Star Wars can be good. Maybe
Star
not
Wars can be good.
All. Maybe not all Star Wars, but we're not there yet. But hey, guys. The first voice you heard was Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. Your plushies behind you seem to. I don't know if it's the new setup or something. They just seem like there's more, and they're about to pounce or something.
I have some of like the pink LED lights behind one of my monitors, and it might be just like adding a new dimension of light to the plushie behind me.
A new dimension of light. Speaking of a new dimension of light, Jean-Luc. Hi, Jean-Luc.
Hello. Thanks for saying my full name. I love it when that happens on the podcast.
I'm so sorry that you have to take that out. That's great.
Oh, it's okay. It's you're just making my job harder in, you know, the day before this is supposed to be released when I finally get around to editing it.
If you have an issue with the full use of your name, you should not have it in so many of your online handles.
I don't care if my employer finds my Letterboxd account. That's fine.
That'd be such a sad way to get fired. Like your employer finds you
over
your
my Letterboxd account,
and it's like, oh, bad pics. Just, you know,
I mean,
they'll pick a different reason, but that's why.
I mean, look, Kinds of Kindness is very, you know, controversial. Some people might not like that I gave it a high rating, you know. Ooh. And if I get fired over that, that's fine. I would take it,
Jean-Luc. Should I be excited for Kinds of Kindness?
Yes, you should be. It's fucking incredible.
Okay, I'm pretty stoked. So,
speaking of stoked, we have our guest today, our special guest, who doesn't need a name to be introduced, but just needs a voice. Can you hear it, Chad?
Hi, everybody.
Wow,
you did.
Fuck me.
I'm only invited on this show to read garbage.
That's
hey,
not
whoa,
true.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It is, well, okay, it's like 80% true.
We invited you to do Civil War, Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, garbage. And,
I don't think we invited Chad on for the Civil War episode.
I also I don't think Chad was on for the Civil War episode.
No.
I was not.
No, but we
did
talk
about
that.
Country and The Hunt, both of which are good.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, those two are good. There was anime thing.
No, no, well, we invited you on for Royal City, and you were like, maybe we'll do that. And so instead, Emily was like, well, what if we read this horrible, horrible manga?
Oh, yeah, the furry manga.
Yes, yes, the gay furry manga.
I
suggested it because it was short.
Well,
and
you
we
know what?
Needed a thing.
I suggested today's because it was short, so
I walked in here with so much rage at you three, and now I'm just like, oh, I'm the bad guy.
We'll get to that.
I'm just saying it's 50-50. Like, half the time we have you on for good stuff, half the time we have you on for bad stuff. It's just that we're on like a 2-episode streak of bad stuff.
There is a clear villain as to who is responsible for you being on this episode, and it's not me.
It's this Sith right there that looks like he belongs in the Acolyte.
Listeners, you need to know that Alex briefly changed the color of the lights behind him to be kind of red, and that was really well timed.
It was great. It was great.
It was really.
It was better storytelling than anything in the comic we read.
Well, we don't even know what comic we're talking about yet. They haven't looked at the show title.
What comic are we talking about today, guys?
Okay, so I'm going to play a little game. I'm going to give you some clues, and you guys are going to guess the comic.
Okay.
So don't guess till I've said the three clues. Uh-huh. Number one, it's a Star Wars comic.
Mm-hmm.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Jean-Luc, not yet, please. Extended Universe. Or Sun now, Stone. You know. Close. Very, very good comic. And number three, Chad owns issue one in the flesh. Yeah.
Yes, he brought it to show. Oh my god, that's so cool.
Wow. It's a cool cover. It's a cool cover for Star Wars Dark Empire. It is.
Hey, Chad, why do you own this?
My guess. This came out in 1997.
Uh-huh.
So I was a child.
Don't bend comic. That's a collector's edition.
I believe this came out in like 91, 92 is what
It must be a reprinting, but yes, because yes, it was originally published in 91. Although when it was revealed, I didn't believe
the existence of me.
It does, yeah, it predates me too.
Not me.
It says March 1997.
Well, the publication date that I am looking at says. No.
Actually, I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, and it says that it was published in December of 1991.
Listen, Wikipedia has apparently sold out, which sucks ass. But the publication date for this comic appears to be December 1991 to October 1992. So I would not be surprised if what Chad has is a reprint.
I can tell you,
I got it in a grocery store.
I believe that. Yeah.
In the local Quillen's that is like a mile and a half away from my house.
Hell yeah.
Back when you could find Star Wars comics and Sonic comics, and I think the occasional Marvel comic.
Hell
no Archies?
Yeah.
Just
no
Archies there.
Yeah, no Archie.
Archies.
There probably was. I feel like, if I remember right, there was like a small wall of comic books and I think random VHS tapes, like whatever.
Sure,
like,
yeah. Yeah. I think I'm like familiar with like that kind of setup.
Yeah.
And I imagine I got this because I was being annoying and my parents were like, sure, just shut the fuck up. Here's a comic
book. You know
what?
Giving a kid who's annoying a really bad comic book is like such a great it's such a great parent play. Cause they're like, oh, I got a comic book. And then it's like, well, let's be fair, when you were a kid, you're probably like, wow, this is great. Because honestly, some of it looks good.
I remember being upset because it wasn't a full story. And like the concept of one of six did not occur to me at like, you know, 7 years old.
Yeah. Also, issue one's the most boring issue. Like the first two or three issues are just like, nothing happens. Oh my God. And then, you know, stuff happens.
I disagree. I think issues one and two and three are better than four and five and then six. The back half of this fucking sucks.
It is so good. It is a 6-issue limited series as well. So Chad had one of them, written by Tom Veit, drawn by Cam Kennedy. And there was actually a second series, which we're not going to... Well, maybe we will. Oh,
and a third series, actually.
On God?
The whole trilogy.
On God. It's,
wow.
It's a trilogy. But followed by a 2-issue limited series and then other stuff. And it was notable because it was the first Star Wars comic produced by Dark Horse. So back in the day, you know, they had the comic rights for a good 20-ish years.
Wow.
A lot of cool
stuff. That's
pretty
cool, actually.
It's not canon, yeah. They had the franchise for over 2 decades. We're going to get into the plot summary. It's kind of a lot. I'm sorry.
Cliff notes.
Yeah. So Return of the Jedi happens, right? And the Millennium Falcon is now on Coruscant. Pew, 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 pew. Then Han, Leia, Chewie, and C-3PO, they're going to rescue Luke Skywalker because Lando and Luke, they crashed. They crashed. But so they end up getting them, but Luke's like, oh, there's a storm coming. I'm going to stay here. You guys go. I'm going to murder myself. And everyone's like, bro, just get on the ship. There's lots of time. You don't have to murder yourself. He's like, no, you're not strong enough for this. And then they're like, okay, peace. You're kind of being a dick. So they go there, and then they learn that Admiral Ackbar's homeland is under attack by some war machines called the World Devastators. And that's not good, because they're designed to convert energy, everything in the path, into raw materials to build more war machines. It's kind of like, what do you call it? Something that eats something and then makes it another one.
Yeah. Me with poop.
Me with... Yep. And meanwhile,
you
Luke...
You stuff and you make stuff.
Meanwhile, Luke is awaking from the Force Storm and finds out that he's on an old Imperial prison ship headed to Biss. The name Biss as a planet is cool, because it's like Abyss. It's like, oh wow, where is it? It's mysterious, very cool. It kind of gives Exegol vibes, kind of like Sith homeworld locked away somewhere. Don't look at me like that, Jean-Luc.
Biss is way better than Exegol. Exegol is trying way too hard.
Oh sure.
Biss is like classic Star Wars. It's just like, it sounds like something that was just like George Lucas riffing. And, you know, like how he came up with, like,
what if it's Abyss? But wait, we'll get rid of the A, and it's like, okay, cool.
Exactly. It's classic Star Wars.
Luke's like in the waiting room. He's like, oh, you got an appointment with someone. And he's like, oh, man, I know it's not going to be my dad because he's dead. And I know it's not going to be Emperor Palpatine because he's also dead. But then he walks in the room and Palpatine's like, psych, I cloned myself now. And Luke's like, oh, I guess I'm going to be bad.
Did it before that shitty Star Wars movie.
We'll get to that. It did. Honestly, a lot of things here have been taken in the last few years by Disney. They're like, oh, what's the best Star Wars Dark Empire? That's the one.
I was gonna ask about that, but I guess we'll get into it.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, Luke's just kind of like, just kind of decides to, he's like, oh, the Emperor's here. I guess I'll become an apprentice, a Dark Lord of the Sith or something.
Yeah, sure.
And then Leia's like having visions where she's like, oh, that's not good. And then Boba Fett comes around in Dengar and they're like hanging out a bit. And they're just like, oh, the Hutts are angry at you because you murdered one of us. And it's like, oh, that's fair. But then they just kind of like speed away. And then Dengar and Boba are like, ah, curse you. We'll get you next time. Last time we saw Boba Fett was in the Rancor. Not the Rancor. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, no, Sarlacc? Come on. Is there one real Star Wars fan here?
There is, and they've left the room, actually.
But he says, like, oh, the Sarlacc didn't find me digestible or whatever.
Yeah, which is what happens like in the Book of Boba Fett. That's exactly what happens.
Basically. Oh, is that really? Okay, yeah. It sounds like kinda. A fucking cop-out, but I guess they used it twice.
Well, anyway. If you guys would read Tales of the Bounty Hunters, you would know that inside the Sarlacc's stomach, because he was wearing Mandalorian Beskar armor, it couldn't dissolve the Beskar properly because of how strong the compound is. And so Boba Fett was able to recover his jetpack and use it to escape from the Sarlacc pit.
Okay, exactly. No, thank you. I appreciate this added context, Jean-Luc. But
anyways, fast, you know, then Luke... Then Leia has visions of Luke and turned to the dark side, and then they end up getting captured, Luke and Leia, by good old Emperor and stuff. And then Luke is like, I'm no longer in the dark side. I'm going to fight you, Palpatine, and I'm going to destroy your cloning facility. But before he can destroy the cloning facility, one of the hot young clones, it comes out, and he's like, I'm hot and young, and I can fight. And everyone's like, oh, no. And then he beats Luke, and Luke's like, okay, I'm on the dark side again. Gives up again. And then we go a little bit, and then there's a big massive flagship appears over Dasucha, which is a cool planet name. And the Emperor demands that the Alliance surrender Leia to him. And then Leia's like, okay, I'll go there. And then Luke gets broken free from the dark side again.
Palpatine
creates a large force storm that will destroy the Rebel Alliance and everyone there. But then Luke and Leia are like, what if we amplify this storm so it's back at you, Uno reverse card? And then, they win. The Emperor dies again. The kids are safe. And Luke says that the Jedi Knights will rise again. Wow. What a book. Star Wars Dark Empire. What did you guys think?
I like that Emily just took a rip off of a pipe.
I mean, listen, we don't have to keep that in the recording. but I guess I can start since I've been called out like this.
I'm just saying, you know, it's a mood after hearing the plot summary to this nightmare.
I didn't hate this book entirely. Yes. I thought that it did some really interesting stuff with like the art and the coloring especially. Some panels, some renditions of Star Wars characters did not quite hit in this depiction.
Were you not a fan of spiky hair Luke Skywalker? You didn't
I actually cool. the most that I noticed like weird character faces and depictions was of Leia, and so I guess I was not as like I was not as honed in on spiky hair Luke Skywalker, but yeah, like I thought that the art for this comic was doing something very interesting, but also that like some of the depictions were just not very good, and that hampered the experience overall. Sure. I thought that there were some like impressive drawings of ships and whatnot whenever that was needed. I guess like I wouldn't know if they looked fucked up or not, but I thought that was like kind of a high point for the art was anytime that there needed to be drawings of ships or what have you. But
I really like there's the coloring's really cool. It really creates this like sunsetty mood for the whole series.
I liked the mood that was created by the coloring in a lot of ways. It was very like
Cloud City-y.
I thought it was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think the art was interesting enough to support the cool coloring that was at play.
Like, I think most of the, like, any page you can find art where you're like, oh, this would look cool on a wall, maybe. But it's, like, just not interested in, like, telling a sequential story. It's just kind of like, here you go, here you go, here you go. And it's, like, not there, but.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone else have opinions about, just general opinions about the book?
I thought the lettering was good. And the layout of the word bubbles, I feel like, flowed really well with the artwork itself. It always knew where to go next, and I think there was some, like, dynamicism on like, how conversations were structured, like, in a kind of a unique way.
I would agree with that.
It's one of those things, like, when lettering is good, you don't notice it. When it's great, you notice it. And when it's bad, you notice it. And so I'm like, this might actually have, like, some great lettering, which is wild, because, like, the words themselves were not good. I do agree with Emily. I think the artwork is pretty good. I really like the kind of washed out, very bright, saturated colors. There's a lot of two-tone going on in most panels that just looked really neat. Coupled that with the like industrial, you know, Star Wars architecture and spaceships and stuff. Like, the space battles all looked really good.
They weren't always
super easy to follow. Some of the faces look a little...
That's every Star Wars. I mean, especially like modern ones. Like, this was, I was actually like impressed by it, because I'm used to just like straight up tracing these days, where it's just like, oh, it's that scene from the Star Wars movie. It's Luke Skywalker's face.
That's fair. And I might have even like been fooled by, if like they had been doing like tracing for this comic, I may have been fooled into thinking like, oh, this is just good art. But yeah, there were several panels where, like, looking at Leia, I was just like, no. And I also, I didn't like the haircut that Leia had in this comic.
I like that it takes place 10 years after the Battle of Endor, but she still has the exact same hair.
Yeah, I didn't like
Return of the Jedi.
She's been busy, okay?
I didn't like the straight cut at the bottom. It just felt like unnatural. And every time that the bottom of her hair showed up in like comic panel, I was just like, I don't like that. So I guess that was just a very small issue I had. The art. I wanted the art to be better because I liked the sensibilities behind like the coloring, but just the like the line art, the like the art itself for the comic, I didn't love most of the time.
I think that's fair. I think the art is okay. It oscillates
like
it's not a lot
bad.
For me.
It just like sometimes like I just didn't love certain like decisions that were made. I guess.
No, I agree, and I think the core how Kennedy draws the core three is pretty inconsistent. Like
yeah.
Sometimes he gets Luke, Han, and Leia right. Sometimes they look pretty awkward. Chewbacca's weirdly boxy. I think overall like it's. The art is like orders of magnitude like better than the actual story and the writing. Like there are things to like about the art. If you wrote, I think Chad said it best. Like if you wrote a different story over the art, like or the same story but with a different writer, I mean, you might have like a comic book that we were pretty happy with.
I agree.
I would echo the sentiment that. All of the industrial stuff you see is really sick. I have been in love with the design of the world Devastators since I got the Star Wars Encyclopedia for Christmas when I was 11 years old.
Hell yeah.
So that, I think that stuff is super cool. Seeing them like kind of touch down on Mon Calamari and you really get a sense of the scale is awesome. So, you know, there are aspects of the art that I really like. I love the design of that the prison ship that shows up for like one panel where they're like, this is a prison ship that was used during the Clone Wars. We don't actually know what the Clone Wars is yet, so figure out the context in which it was used. But it's cool nonetheless, right?
There was kind of a golden period where like, the Clone Wars had not been fully established.
Oh, yeah.
So you could kind of just say anything was a part of the Clone Wars.
Well, yes. And many Star Wars writers of this era did actually do that. There was like
I love
a
that.
Different explanation of what the Clone Wars was that Timothy Zahn came up with for his duology sequel to the Heir to the Empire trilogy.
Sure.
And I mean, there's just a lot of stuff in general in this book where you can tell like, this is very much because the concept for this was like first came about in 1988, a few years was when it was first pitched.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that there is no sense for like EU can even expanded universe canon yet. Like,
sure. I mean, like,
it's kind of awesome.
The concept of like having 100% consistent canon, like, that was not something that people like, you know, I know nerds were like always trying to figure out like how things set. But like, for the most part, as like a studio mandate, so to speak, like there wasn't this idea of needing to be like 100% consistent canon.
Well, you say that there's actually kind of a funny story about that related to this book, which is that, Tom Veitch and Timothy Zahn have beef over this.
Yeah.
Because, and this is what I was alluding to, and I DM'd it to Alex, so he already knows this, but when this book was originally written, the release ended up coinciding with the Heir to the Empire trilogy, which is like the first like novels of the EU, right?
Okay.
And Timothy Zahn read the manuscript for this and said, I don't want to reference that in my books at all. Like, they were supposed to come up with, like, a... Like, they were told by Lucasfilm, and like Veitch read Heir to the Empire, and it was like, you guys come up with like a continuity of how these fit together. Uh-huh. Because Veitch originally wanted this to be set 1 year after Return of the Jedi.
Sure.
And Timothy Zahn said, I don't want to mention this in my books at all. And so they ended up having this take place afterwards, which specifically so that Zahn couldn't set it. And Veitch had to write like that opening crawl at the beginning of it that Veitch wrote. He had to write it to incorporate the Heir to the Empire trilogy to bridge the gap. And the result of that is that Dark Empire actually destroys old EU like continuity in a lot of ways, because like,
oh, that's incredible.
The rebel, the New Republic takes back Coruscant in 7 ABY, and this book takes place 3 years after that, when apparently Coruscant is still controlled by the Imperial Remnant. And there's a couple other things throughout the Dark Empire trilogy that had like, uh-huh, kind of fuck with old EU canon in a way that's pretty funny, which, yeah, is also in some senses makes it even better that it is like the series that for whatever reason was chosen to be like pseudo adapted by Disney for their that last movie in their trilogy.
I noticed a lot of things from this series that we read that ended up kind of like being worked a little bit into the Disney trilogy. Yeah. And like that was weird. I guess I didn't expect that. But I didn't really know anything about this series going in, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is one of those things where like, it does go to show that the like how bad the Palpatine I Have Returned shit is, that no one has been able to do it right, that every time people do it, it's just a heinous disaster, and how kind of like,
I felt like this comes across better than the movies.
Well, this one at least had the dignity to not announce it in Fortnite beforehand.
That's
fair enough. You know, I mean, Fortnite didn't exist at the time, but fair enough.
At the same time, this one's like just in the summary of it, it's like, oh, Palpatine's back. Palpatine has a clone. Palpatine's dead. Like, and the reason we're reading this book today.
Well, he's not dead, but I digress. You
he's
know.
Dead-ish. He's whatever. He's, for now, he's out of the picture. But so the reason, because I read the Thrawn trilogy and I was like, oh, these books are so good. And then I looked at what I was supposed to read next novel wise, and it was the Jedi Academy series. And I'm like, cool, Jedi Academy, that sounds cool. And then like chapter 2 or 3, it mentions the fact that Palpatine returned at one point and then got like subdued at one point. And I'm like, did I miss a book or something? And it turns out it was this shitty 6-issue miniseries that like fills in the blanks, but it's just, yeah, like,
Alex
not,
came to me asking questions.
I was tears like, streaming down my face.
A year and a half ago.
I should have read the little like bits at the end of the issue that were a whole bunch of text about a bunch of bullshit, huh?
I didn't
read.
No.
Okay. No.
Thank
this
God.
This book has wasted enough of time, I think.
Look, I definitely didn't, so I guess I'm, like, I'm asking if, should I have?
No. They are, like, they are just exposition dumps that, in retrospect, make no sense. So,
thank God.
It's good,
like,
that you skipped them.
I tried to read, like, after the first issue, I did try to read like some of them, and I was like, oh my God, this is so much. I'm just not doing this.
Thank God.
It's just funny that like the Thrawn trilogy is so good, and then like they decided to tell the story in like a crappy comic book, and it's like, you know what? There's always been Star Wars things that suck, and Star Wars things that don't, like, you know.
That's equality.
I mean, Splinter of the Mind's Eye came out a year after A New Hope, right? So there was like maybe a 5-month period where there was no bad Star Wars in 1977.
Yeah, and I feel
not
like
not last, I mean, long.
I guess because the movies
I can't
are
believe
generally
when I was 3 years old,
ruined.
There ruined. There was some decent Star Wars,
right? Yeah, and it's like, yeah. But like going back to what Emily said, like this book has, you know, Clone Palpatine, it has Boba Fett returning, it has Luke kind of falling off the Jedi path.
It has a lot of things that it feels like they incorporated into modern Star Wars. And I find that really interesting, actually.
So, Jen, you've seen Book of Boba Fett, you've seen Rise of Skywalker, you've seen Last Jedi. How does the pieces it picks from there for you compare to how they were in this one?
Because of those, I've only seen Last Jedi. I have not seen Rise of Skywalker or Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, lucky. Well, on one at least.
This almost makes me respect those things a little more. And I have to say that because whenever I talk about the Aliens vs. Predator movies, I'm like, listen, they're bad, but they're pulling from comic books that came out like possibly before I was born. And I kind of appreciate that. Like, you know, you're continuing the tradition. There's a nod to an old fan base and an old like semi-continuity. And I can't help but respect that.
Chad, when are we going to make Alex and John-Luke read some Alien versus Predator comics? Or Alien comics? Because
we have read an Alien comic before.
I'm so game. Did we? I feel like the Alien comic was for the previous podcast, though.
Yeah, I got those too. In hardcover.
Yeah, but I feel like we should make we should read an Alien versus Predator comic.
The very old AVP comics. Mm-hmm. I actually had the novelization of them, so I've never actually read the comic, but the story itself is pretty fun. And
but there
like,
is a comic.
Yeah, and it's super. That AVP movie, like, there is so much stuff ripped out of there, and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I kind of love this, and. So I think to like Rise of the Skywalker and Mandalorian, and it's like, hey, that's kind of neat that, you know, there's some threads here that people hated, but they've actually been done before.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Book of Boba Fett goes, that shit really sucked. And, I will say Boba Fett was better written in this than he was in Book of Boba Fett, and I hated pretty much all the writing in this, so...
I will say my first exposure to the Alien franchise was actually an Aliens versus Predator novel.
That's really funny.
Oh, wow.
I am down to read this. I hate everything this comic does with Luke Skywalker, and I can't believe that
it does it for no reason.
Well, right, like
it's so bad.
I'm like, look, people hate The Last Jedi, Luke Skywalker, but if you want to talk about character assassination, maybe you should go back and read this comic.
Last Jedi, Luke Skywalker makes so much sense. This is dumb as hell.
Well, yeah, I mean, so to be clear, Luke Skywalker falls to the dark side, but he does it in a way that he's like, no, I'm actually going to pretend to be a bad guy. And I'm going to be working from within the whole time. And the comic tells you this, like, right when he does
it. But is he a bad guy?
But there's no interplay at all of whether he is or isn't, except for Han, like, really wanting to kill him for, like, a few issues in the middle, which is also just a strange character beat for Han, I think.
Yeah, very strange.
Han probably has the least to do in this. And it is also, like, sorry, just like after Return of the Jedi 2, where Lucas is like, oh, we should have killed him in Empire. That would have been good. You really feel that here, where he's just like, okay, I'm Han Solo.
Han Solo.
That's just Han Solo in the whole EU, really, I think. But
he does some cool stuff with Kip.
That's true. But the Luke thing is just like, it's just so poorly handled in a variety of ways. Like, for one, you totally miss out on the opportunity of potentially seeing like what it would take for Luke to fall to the dark side. Because it's not like that's new, right? I mean, within the first 5 minutes of Return of the Jedi, he's force choking a Gamorrean, which, you know, he's flirted with the dark side before. And you kind of get it at the end of Jedi 2 with him, you know, in the throne room. But there's no interest in, like, actually asking questions about, like, what might actually tempt Luke to the dark side. Instead, it's just this kind of ploy that he's doing because they have no other way to defeat the world Devastators. And it's just, it just makes for a really unsatisfying story, because it's not even like there's a twist at the end when R2 shuts them all down. It's just like, yeah, like obviously we were building to this because you told me at the beginning that we were building to this. And again, like there's this sort of, there's these few scenes in there where Palpatine's like, well, it's not actually Luke I'm trying to turn, it's Leia. But then again, the Leia stuff never actually gets explored, right? Like, why is she the one? And I get that it ends up being because, like, she's pregnant. But it, that's a thing that is, like, much more developed in the sequels to this. That, like, the reason Palpatine is, like, interested in Leia is because she's pregnant at the time. And he wants to possess that body instead of a clone body. It's just, it's, like, all of these things are just there, but there's, like, no real motivation for why characters do things, why Palpatine does things. Mm-hmm. Like, does things. Like, obviously, I get it. Palpatine's the evil bad guy. He wants to destroy planets and be evil. Like, fine. That's what he does. But, like, why does he care about turning Luke and Leia? Like, what is... And this is really, like, one of the first opportunities that there is to... that Star Wars had to, like, explore that space. Mm-hmm. And it's just a complete, like, miss shot.
I will say, one thing I did like about this comic was that it, like, it firmly is in the camp of, like, you know, Leia being also, like, a Jedi and having, like, Jedi powers and stuff. I feel like that's... something that, it, as far as the movies are concerned, is kind of a little up in the air. So I liked that was, like, really front and center throughout this little arc that we read, even though I think this comic is mostly pretty stupid. I just enjoyed that as, like, an aspect.
I do like the scene where she gets her lightsaber. I think where they like run across the old, I mean,
implied. Got to use it, but
yeah. But I like the whole, like, they find someone who's, like, implied to be, like, an exiled Jedi from the Clone Wars on Nar Shaddaa.
Yeah,
and she gives Leia her lightsaber before kind of disappearing. I like, that's kind of like a nice moment, but
and there really are, like,
service of anything.
There are multiple other moments where, like, Leia is recognized as, like, a Jedi princess or whatever, and I just enjoyed that as a part of this comic.
This whole comic reads like fan fiction.
It kind of does.
And I know, like, it kind of is, but, like, there's, like, it reads like fan fiction in an endearing way, and then there's it reads like fan fiction in a, oh god, I can't believe people spent money on this way. And this is more like that. Like, the whole plot, the whole will they, won't they with Luke and Palpatine is so stupid.
It's so, like, toothless. Like,
there's no tension in it.
There's not a single moment where you feel like Luke is actually gonna, like, fall to the dark side, even when he, like, ostensibly does. Like, you know that he's not actually there. Like,
right.
There's no tension.
And it's like everything I find frustrating about the dark side as a concept is, like, in here and then dialed up. Because, like, the idea of there, like, the dark side is just, like, the evil side of the Force. There's no nuance, especially not in this, to it. And so it's like, oh, do you want to be a bad guy and have some powers? And so Luke's like, no. He's like, well, you have to if you want to stop me. And Luke's like, okay, but, you know, I'm going to betray you. And then that's what happens, right? Like, it's so dumb. And there could be a neat story here, maybe. But I think in order to tell a neat story with some of these concepts, you'd have to fuck with Star Wars lore in ways that maybe people wouldn't like, or at least gut this from top to bottom and kind of start over.
Yeah, it's fan fiction, not in, like, the ideas are, like, outlandish or, like, don't make any sense. It's just, like, the pacing is so, feels so amateurish. And
yeah,
the pacing is so bad. Like, so much else about the comic, I think I could probably forgive, but, like, the pacing is awful.
you know it's bad when there are, like, exposition bubbles all over the place, like it's a modern DC comic, But then some of them are like, they shot this droid because he got in the way. And it's like, it's right there. I can see that. I mean, at this point, I'm not really paying attention to the art because I'm so fucking bored and I want to get this over with. So I'm glad you told me, because I would not have actually noticed. Inconsequential. You took up coloring space.
Yeah, like, there were so many moments where it was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to remember who is being interacted with in this scene, because like the pacing was so all over the place.
I feel like this story needed like another 4 issues to properly tell it with like a pacing that wouldn't ruin the story.
Uh-huh.
But then you'd have, you know, 10 issues of this instead of 6, and that also sounds bad.
That does sound bad. I wonder if the other 2 parts of the trilogy are steps up on this.
They are essentially the same story repeated 2 more times, except in the second one, they introduce a different super weapon, the galaxy gun, which is It's like, what if you took the Death Star laser and it could fire a projectile that went through the projectile went through hyperspace to hit a planet and destroy it?
That'd be great.
I mean, that's like a decent, escalation.
It's a sniper rifle through space.
It is. I mean, that kind of stuff is so, like, that is this era of the EU. I mean, Thrawn trilogy aside, Champion, like Jedi Academy stuff aside to a degree, mm-hmm. It's like bringing back old villains or writing new characters who are basically old villains and rehashing the Death Star a million times over, which, you know, is kind of just what Disney did also with the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
But I want to go back briefly to a point. I think it was Emily or Chad who said this, that there's never any tension about the will they won't they with Luke and Palpatine.
I think we both said that.
I think you both said, yeah. I actually think in the first issue, there's some interesting setup for Luke where there's that great panel where they see like his silhouette and it looks like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
It's like, it's Luke. But it's like, that's a good bit of setup. And then he comes out of the cave and he's using all these like absurd powers we've never seen him use before. Like he pulls the AT-AT down. He has like the Force shield around him, which are like, and that's the thing with the dark side, is that it kind of taps into, it, at least in how it's portrayed, it taps into like those more extreme expressions of Force powers. And so like you get it there. And even in that panel where he pulls the AT-AT down, he casts this wide shadow behind him. And it's this, I actually think that first issue, like I have problems with the writing. Like I agree with Chad that like the exposition is off the charts. Like there's so much space wasted on text boxes. But in terms of like visually setting up, oh, maybe Luke actually is a bit dark-sided, I actually think it does an okay job of that. And it's just that as soon as he encounters Palpatine, he says, actually, I'm doing this to be a double agent. And that just immediately removes all the tension.
Yeah, like I thought that the visuals worked I thought that was like really cool in execution, but just like the writing I thought didn't actually support like what they were attempting to do. And I don't know, like I said, it felt like there were no stakes, because even if like that for like even if like the visuals of that like initial like seduction to the dark side were like very cool, it was just never like, it was never really believable that Luke mm-hmm. would actually be like taken over to the dark side. Like nothing about the way it was written ever made me feel like it always made me feel like Luke is trying to do this to like as a means to an end, and maybe he gets a little too caught up in it, but like he's never fully there. Does that make sense?
And I think that makes sense. I would have loved to have seen him more get caught up in it and actually do something like evil and then be like, oh God, I can't believe I did that. But yeah. Maybe used a cool force power to do it. And it's like, I can't believe I could do that. You know, there's ways to make this work that are logical. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's like, God, if we had like another couple issues to explore these at a much slower pace and actually visually see them instead of having that text boxes. Because I felt that way about the B plot with the Devastators destroying Mon Calamari, where it's like, this could be really cool, but we don't get enough of just like the destruction with no words. Like, I want to actually witness this. It felt like
so much of this book was like telling me what was going on. And I get it because like I probably needed to be told what was going on because like there was so much going on. But also like it did feel like the book was telling me what was going on. So I honestly like part of the pacing problem I had with this was like the way that like expository boxes were laid out. I would expect it to be like closer to the end of a chapter, end of an issue or whatever. And then like, it would just keep going and going and going and going. And like, I had a hard time with the pacing as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it tries to like open in media res or do the cold open, but like it just flings you into the point where like it wants to be in media res,
but it also really wants to make sure that you know what's going on.
Those
sensibilities are kind of at odds.
Actually, that's a great point.
It would be cool to see this as like a animated Clone Wars style TV show where they could take a season to like kind of like flesh it out. Like a 6-issue miniseries where Luke apparently falls to the dark side 3 times, but he's actually joking. But is he actually joking? Who knows, kind of thing. It doesn't go. That's the next thing. So
I was just going to say, also, I know I said this, but I have to return to it because I really hate how quickly Han is just like, all right, let's vaporize the fucker. Like, what happened to his characterization of like the smuggler with a heart, the rogue with a heart of gold?
What happened to insert characters' characterization?
It's weird, and it's funny because apparently before he worked on this, the artist had never seen Star Wars before. But the writer was like a huge fan. Tom Vench was like a huge fan.
Oh, wow.
So you would think that it might be the other way around based on
it. It seems like the reverse for sure. Yeah.
It's just such an odd decision. And then,
Think we all can agree that just being a huge fan of Star Wars doesn't actually like qualify you to write a good Star Wars.
It's true, but I think you would understand that like Luke and Han are friends, and that if Luke fell to the pacing, like all the stuff on Nar Shaddaa where Han like goes back to like see his old friends from his old life is stuff that and is still being hunted by Boba Fett. Like in theory, that's a plot line that should be really interesting. But it just feels so condensed that, again, it's one of those things where it's like there's kind of no stakes. And then there's like some stupid thing that happens where like Boba Fett's rocket misfires and that's how they get away. Like it's
a callback to the toy because the rocket would misfire and kill kids. It's so good.
I don't think it killed anyone.
Yeah, it was. Well, it could have. Like it was recalled because it was dangerous or maybe the paint was lead. I don't know.
That was never true. What? I'm pretty sure that was never true. It never shot a missile.
Shot a real missile?
I'm fairly certain they never made the official Boba Fett like rocket launcher toy.
No, they didn't.
I'm fairly certain that was just like something that they offered in like pre-orders, but then they never actually made the toy.
At least one child has choked and died on the missile.
Yeah, I mean,
Vindication.
They made like a single model or like they made like a really small number of them. I don't think that like
Emily is right. I'm doing some you know fact checking. Emily is right. The toy was recalled but it was recalled before it was ever actually made, and the prototypes were all destroyed. But it was recalled because of a potential choking hazard. And there was a child who died of a choking hazard in a small toy, but it was a different, it wasn't the Boba Fett toy itself.
Yeah.
The Smithsonian
other
magazine.
The Boba Fett toy was a casualty of some other kid being stupid.
Yeah. Wow. Like the,
maybe
the
that
only,
kid was suicidal.
The only existing maybe. Version of the Boba Fett toy that exists is like a, like fan recreation of, like
they also did a complete recall of their Battlestar Galactica toys, which
not to shill, but Netflix has a docu-series called The Toys That Made Us, and they have several episodes about very cool things, and one of them is like the Star Wars toys.
Apparently there are about 70 to 80 of these Boba Fett toys that were smuggled out by Kenner employees.
That's cool. Han Solo in real life. The toys.
Oh, man.
I would believe that.
Oh,
what a guy.
That Han Solo wouldn't have betrayed Luke.
That's true. Exactly. He would not have betrayed Luke.
Nope.
Anyway.
You guys, okay, so I think we're going to leave the book behind, because honestly, I'm impressed we talked about it for this long. That's good
yeah,
stuff.
Me too.
But I guess more broadly in Star Wars as we're wrapping up, but do you guys like Star Wars in the year 2024? Well, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would generally say that I'm vaguely a fan of the Star Wars.
Why?
I mean...
I'm not judging you.
There are some things that the Star Wars franchise has put out that I still think are pretty good. I liked the first two movies in the new trilogy. I watched a considerable amount of The Bad Batch. I liked that. I have intentions to watch The Acolyte because Manny Jacinto is in it as a hot villain, and that is something that appeals to my interests.
Second hottest villain in the show.
Second hottest. Okay.
Yeah, there's cameo in the finale that just goes crazy.
Oh, I've managed to avoid some spoilers for The Acolyte, so hopefully I will watch it before I end up accidentally discovering who the hottest villain is. I'm very excited to find out about that. I don't know. I went through a period of time where I thought that, like, continuing the Star Wars was a dumb and bad idea, and then I saw, what was the first movie of the new trilogy?
Force Awakens.
I saw The Force Awakens, and I was like, hot dog, that's a pretty, pretty good movie. So then I liked the movie after that, and then, I didn't see the third one because I heard it was bad.
That's so cool of you.
I didn't feel like wasting my time. But
the third one is the Dragon Ball GT of the new trilogy of Star Wars movies.
This is why we have you on for these
for references that only I understand.
Cameron explained that to me, and I was like, "Oh my god, it's true."
Yeah, that's really funny.
I knew that going into that movie. I didn't hate it. It was dumb, but I had fun with it. I actually like a lot of modern Star Wars, or at least I enjoy as a casual fan who has very little expectations out of Star Wars.
I heard that the final Star Wars movie was bad, so like I didn't feel like putting forth the effort to.
I really appreciate that the two people on this show who consume the most Star Wars media both instantly said no to this question, and the two people who consume considerably less Star Wars media are like, I love Star Wars. Yeah, Star Wars. I like Star Wars.
Cool.
Star Wars is pretty good. Like, it's not a, you know, it's a big franchise, but, you know, it's got some good stuff. No, I like Star Wars. I got to break kayfabe. I will always like Star Wars. You know, it's like 24 years of being obsessed with Star Wars.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, I watch The Acolyte. I recently read like 4 Star Wars books that I hadn't read yet in a row over the course of like 2 weeks.
Hell yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about Darth Maul lately. Which, so cool. You know, as one does.
As one does.
Yeah. Also, there is good Star Wars. The Acolyte is pretty good. You know, there some of the books are good. You can't expect too much out of a Star Wars novel these days, but there's some good stuff.
Well, this, I imagine, is part of the, like, extended universe that was, like, given the axe when Disney had made purchase.
Yes, it was. And I love the old EU.
Yeah.
Not this, but you know, generally speaking, there's a lot of good stuff there. I reread all the X-Wing books last year. You know, it was good shit.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
If there are good Star Wars EU books that did get the axe, why didn't we read one of those?
Because they're all novels. Well, they're not all novels, but
we could read a good story. We could read like Knights of the Old Republic or something. Yeah, there's good stuff. There's actually a lot of good comics that we could choose from. There's some good Darth Vader miniseries. There's the Clone
You're digging
War
a
stuff.
Hole with a big shovel.
Actually, Emily, you would love. Oh my God, you should read the Jabim arc of the old Clone Wars comics.
Oh,
you can
the
see
Jabim arc.
Some
Look, if you
Anakin,
if you assign like, it for an episode, I'll do it.
Oh, you would love like muddy Anakin Skywalker. I think like mid 2000s ass Anakin Skywalker.
Oh
okay,
yeah,
I think you have me on.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We can.
That's all I'll say.
We can do this for the show, and I'm going to be totally.
We can just turn it into
it.
A Star Wars podcast.
just starting our new.
I was thinking, Jean-Luc. I was like, oh man, I want to read some more New 52 stuff. Because we did like 3 episodes of a show. Oh,
we can't do that. Our brains are too broken. It's like we got to read all the New 52 comics and every Star Wars book. That sucks.
I mean, jeez. Look, we can do. Some Star Wars books that suck, as evidenced by this episode.
I will say,
also some New 52. Yeah.
This one specifically was a matter of, I think, me just being like, "Oh my god, this is so stupid that I'm reading the novel and they're like, read a comic book. Like those are for fucking kids." And like,
wait, there's a novel version of this?
No, because I was reading the novels, and they referenced a major thing. Palpatine coming back is like bigger than anything that happened in the book I was reading. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is slander to the introduction of Kip Duran. Come on, Alex.
Kip's pretty cool. He's going down a dark path though. But all that said, Star Wars, I think it's cool that we're reaching a point now in Star Wars where like we're not quite at the old EU where like there's so many things, so there's obviously so many bad things kind of thing. So but like it's nice to have an assortment of Star Wars where it's not like, oh, it's all good except for like these two. It's like we're starting to get into the grime now of like, oh my god, I love this one. Oh, I hated this one. It's cool to just be getting a lot of Star Wars. So it's something that I think we'd probably still be getting if Disney didn't buy it. But it's one of the pluses of it where it's like, huh, it's nice that we're getting Star Wars. It's pretty cool. But the final question I have for you guys before we wrap up is what do you want to see in a Star Wars story nowadays? I guess one thing, a little pitch or something, because we're kind of in that state of like, I don't know. I feel like most things could happen right now, whether it's canon or not.
I want to see Fast and the Furious, but it's pod racing.
Oh, I've heard this one before.
Oh, that would be so good.
I will. Yeah. I've said this before and I will say it again. I will say it again, but I think that'd be fucking awesome. I want more pod racing games. I want more pod racing Lego sets and toys. Cause it's
no, cool. I think you're correct, actually.
What was the recent Disney thing that had pod racing in it? Was it like that a Bad Batch?
Like
Fortnite?
I was going to say, was it like Lego Star Wars?
No. Bad Batch Season 2 has a pod racing episode.
Fuck yeah.
Ooh, I should go watch that.
The Bad Batch is really good. I only watched the first season. I should watch the second season. I just didn't start when it started, and now it's over, I guess.
Now you are where you are.
But I really enjoyed Bad Batch season one, and I think you would too, even like devoid of most context.
I also I want to see a Star Wars thing where Luke gets tempted to the dark side, but the dark side is like the personification of the dark side, and it's just like this really sexy hot anime girl with like, you know, cat ears.
I got a link for you.
She just like,
boy, do I have a comic that you? Boy, do I have a comic you would love.
Wait, and
there's
really?
So many metachlorians in his cum.
Well, it's about Luke's great-grandson, not uh-huh. Luke himself, but he does get seduced to the dark furry. Side by a hot Twi'lek lady. So,
oh, hey. Look at Luke's grandson is a weeb.
Cade Skywalker, my goat. Yeah. So that, you know, we can get pretty close. I mean, Luke does, like, end up with a, you know, hot dark side lady.
Really? True. There are no
okay,
new ideas.
Mara Jade.
You don't know about Mara Jade?
What
the fuck are you talking about?
Mara Jade, buddy.
Bro, we gotta do like, we have to do like a retro, we have to read some Star Wars novels, my friend. We have some, class needs to become in session. We need to reopen the school.
John, right? Literally, if you can find any Star Wars novels that have audiobooks, like
all of them.
I'm there, like we can do it for the show.
You know what's even better is that a lot of the old Star Wars novel audiobooks are voiced by the actor who played Wedge Antilles.
Yeah, exactly. I will do it for the show if there's an audiobook. I just can't be expected to read an actual novel.
Understandable.
No one should be.
I'm upset with that answer.
Chad, you should make audiobooks of your books, and then I can.
Heather keeps telling me to do that too because she doesn't want to read them either, and it's like, you know how much fucking work goes into that.
What if I read it in like a Kermit the Frog voice, but every like paragraph I break it because I can't do it really well. So it's like,
Alex, your Kermit the Frog voice. I think you're doing something kind of cool where you're using your retinoids to bring that together. If you cough in that position, you're gonna get a nice gravel tone.
Yeah,
okay. You gotta bring that up a bit. But okay. That's
Kirby.
There we go.
You literally
just fucking did it.
That was sweet, Alex. Holy shit.
Alex, hey, you
gotta get you on the next Anonym project. What the fuck?
Uh-huh. Subscribe to Chad's masterclass. He's good. He's a good teacher. Look at that.
Like,
that
shit. Like, you know how long it took me to do that? I guess paying a guy like $150 an hour.
Ooh, Chad, but
I'm
classically
trained. You should
be the
one who's getting paid $150 an hour.
Yeah. Okay, but that was like 10 seconds of work. That was 10 seconds of work. So like,
Alex
did go
to a special arts high school. So
did you really?
You make it sound like it's like a special arts high school.
It was a special arts high school.
Did you really?
Don't say that about Alex. He's actually cool.
Alex, but did you really?
Yeah, for vocal music.
How come you don't sing in furry karaoke with us anymore?
You're a singer?
For vocal music.
I was on VR chat. Just this Sunday, I painted an art.
You did,
Alex,
have you
know? Why?
What's up?
Is this the first that I'm hearing that you're a singer?
It's like not real, you know. It's like a high school 4 years. I don't know.
It's a long time,
Alex. Have you ever watched the show Victorious?
No.
Oh, well, never mind.
Jean-Luc, what's your Star Wars story you want to see?
I feel like I got what I wanted with Andor, honestly.
Oh,
like,
it's so good.
I've gotten it.
It's like not fair that they made a good Star Wars again. Like,
it's not fair so they made a Star Wars that's not like, you know, like, because with the Acolyte, you're like, yeah, it's good. But if it wasn't Star Wars, you'd be like, oh, it's just kind of all right.
Yeah.
But like with Andor, you're like, it doesn't, if it even wasn't Star Wars, this would be pretty good.
And it like gets to the core of like the point of the original. It's like, ah, it's so good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, the thing that I really do want to see is something we will never get, which is the Jaina Solo novel trilogy that was supposed to happen. But got killed by Disney.
Who's Jaina Solo?
Boo.
She is Han and Leia's daughter. She is also at the end of the old EU the only surviving child of Han and Leia.
Wap wap wap. Can you like just real quick like pitch me on why you would want a Jaina Solo movie?
Not a movie.
Or maybe something.
Well,
a Jaina Solo something.
I want the Jaina Solo novels because Jaina Solo was always like the third string of the Solo siblings and never got a satisfying narrative conclusion in the old EU. Like she was supposed to, but the books got canceled. And she's like a really cool, like ace fighter pilot, you know, kind of a roguish type trained with Boba Fett, you know, lots of cool shit about Jaina, but like Anakin and Jason both had like these big arcs where they like, you know, got their stories that were about them, and Jaina never got that.
Anakin, like,
yes, Anakin Solo. Yeah, they named their after... the child that Leia is pregnant with in this comic is Anakin Solo.
Okay, can you? I know that that's it. It's not really relevant, but can you give me a brief on the other two solos?
It sounds like we're going to become a Star Wars novel podcast.
No, it's more
and Jean-Luc has
hour
just, like,
10, Emily.
I know, but I just, there are so many things I need to know.
Jason
don't.
Jason Solo is Jaina Solo.
You don't have to edit this.
And Jason Solo, I do. Jason Solo is Jaina Solo's twin.
Uh-huh.
He's still talking.
And he is like, has this really deep interest in studying old force cultures that aren't the Jedi or the Sith.
Okay.
And he goes on like these, he's a pacifist, and he goes on like this big like spiritual journey over the course of the New Jedi Order.
Okay.
And the Hive Wars, and then ends up becoming a Sith.
Okay.
At the end.
He falls as you do.
Yeah.
Well, because he like has a secret kid with the, with the Queen of Hapes, and like, it Jedi can be married and have kids, but like the Queen of Hapes shouldn't really be married to a Jedi. It's like a whole political thing.
Sure.
So have to hide the kid, but the kid is like under threat, so he has to become like a Sith Lord. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
Anakin is the youngest child, and he is like big into nature. He has like he has the Obi-Wan shit where he can like make connections with animals really easily. And that's a big part of him. He's like a very like, I don't know, like he's kind of like this really open-minded kid. He's like the strongest of the three, and he's like the hero of the Yuuzhan Vong war.
Okay.
And
hell yeah,
he dies in like the most like pivotal battle of
that's
that
sad.
War. And he has like a, you know, He has a Tusken Raider girlfriend, which is cool.
As you do,
as you do. You know, it's a whole thing. Yeah. There's good stuff about all three of them. I love those guys. They're some of my favorite guys.
Hell yeah! Thank you. I know that this had literally nothing to do with the book that we talked about tonight, but thank you for explaining that for me.
Well, if you ask me questions about the old EU, I will not be able to shut up. So it's just kind of what it is. It's who I am, I fear.
Hell yeah. Well,
which old EU character have you read the most porn about?
Can I plead the fifth on that one?
Will you?
Oh, now you'll stop talking.
Will you tell us off recording?
No, I mean, I'm not going to talk about my Star Wars porn consumption habits. Okay. That's that's for me to know and partners to find out.
Look, that's fair.
You know, that's strangely beautiful. I don't know.
I respect it.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing Jean-Luc's future girlfriend with like Yoda sock puppet. Bigotous.
No, she's definitely gonna have to have some sort of like full body costume, like
and a sock puppet. She's playing two characters at once.
She's talented. Holy
she's
shit!
She's a thespian.
Oh my god!
She's a beautiful lady, and I want you to stop laughing at her.
It sounds like Jean-Luc's gonna need to start looking at the Renaissance.
She's a thespian, fair. Emily. You're a thespian. Wow, that's so cool. That's cool. last question. Star Wars is Andor. Who cries the most? Who cares? Because they all suck in this book.
Kylo Ren.
Jean-Luc, who cries the most?
In all of Star Wars?
Quickly, 3, 2, 1.
Tahiri Vela.
That's not a real name. Emily.
It is a real name. It's a real name.
Many people are saying this.
Unfortunately, I have to say the person who cries the most in this book is Leia Organa, which I think is sexist, but it is true.
Damn. I think it's Jar Jar's kid. Okay, all right, that's it. You hear that sound? That's the sound of 1 hour and 12 minutes and 57 seconds. But it's also the sound of the Doomsday Clock. You had such a lovely time today. Thanks for everyone who came by.
All of us.
You guys want to do? Sorry, I forgot the names here. There's so many of you.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Normally the producer has like written out the thing, but
yeah,
I guess not today. Not today. Yeah, but we're trying a new segment. It's called the Cry Space, and it's something that made you cry this week. It's just the glad space, and it ends up normally being glad, but we try to make it sound like it's a cry. So, but you can't sue us because it's different but similar. Anybody have a cry space ready and go?
I do. I would like to provide an update from the last episode, in which I believe it was recorded before Chad came and visited me in person, and my cry space was that I was not sure if Chad was going to join me for a night out at the goth club, and I am pleased to report that Chad did in fact join me for a night out at the goth club, where we both had a considerable amount of alcohol, and one of us was very hungover the next day, and fortunately it was not me. So that is my my pleasant update to last time's cry space.
That's so good. My space of sadness is that for so long I missed out on VR chat because my headset wouldn't connect, and then I had to send it back, and then it wouldn't work. But then on Sunday I came back. It was fun.
Triumphant. We drew
art. I wasn't seated next to Chad though, so I had to come walk over and talk to him. But he did a cool whiskey bottle, and it was a big hit on the socials, you could say.
Yeah that was fun.
That was cool. And lastly,
my cry space to tag Emily's cry space is that I am sadly 35 and I get hungover easier than I did at 34, 33, 32, 31, 29. 28, 27, 26, 25. Because I feel like I didn't drink that much that night, you know, and in total. But that last, the Death Star shot, because we had to do one, you know, themed on Star Wars for you two. And it had Jägermeister and Fireball in it, which is a bad combination, apparently.
Jesus, yeah. It was a shooter drink, but it was definitely like, it was like a double shot drink. Like it was not something that you were supposed to take in one whole like swallow, but it had like Jägermeister, Goldschlager, Fireball, and like one other thing. And it was the most foul. And also, it was kind of awesome.
My brain lit up real bright drinking that. It reminded me of
so many things from college. It tasted like college. It was the last thing that we drank that night, and it was horrible.
And I didn't feel good.
I'm gonna I actually I am gonna be going back to the goth club in just a couple of weeks, so I will make sure to get like the full list of ingredients for the Death Star shot so that we can faithfully recreate it.
Keep going.
No, unfortunately, I have to go by, they have like little menus with pre-created themed beverages.
Damn. Well, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for stopping by, special guest.
Alex's wedding.
Who's
me.
We're all hitting so the Death Star shot.
For that Death Star shot, by the way, you can get little 1 ounces of Goldschlager, Jägermeister, and Fireball. So we could actually make that on the show for probably less than $10 and if we wanted.
I think that would be very funny if we did it.
The Goldschlager, maybe don't hold me. I know you can get little shooters of Jägermeister and Fireball. I don't know how much heavy lifting the Goldschlager was doing. It really was just Jägermeister and Fireball.
Sure, but no, I think that would be, if we did another Star Wars comic, that would be really funny. if we all
good stuff
and
drink too, guys. I'm just saying.
That's what I was doing tonight.
That's good. That's good.
Trying.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, that wraps up our show. You can find us on the Twitter at Crying Book Club. Rate and review us an amount of stars that you think is worthy. I just want a review. That's it. Just one review.
That's 5 stars is pretty cool.
Yeah, don't feel pressured. Don't feel pressured. But
like five
stars
cool.
Five stars would be cool. You can find Jean-Luc on Twitter at Mountain Dew Liker. But unless you're really cool, we'll not accept your follow request. So I think even if you are cool, you have to be really cool. It'll be up to Jean-Luc, though. We'll see. You can follow him on Letterboxd at JL Botville. A lot of film stuff. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Hanziak. It's all work stuff, all the time. Very fun. Sometimes I reply to Jean-Luc, Emily, or Chad, so there's that, too. Emily, Twitter, mpandanata, Letterboxd, Pandabore, Twitch, Pandabore, Podcast, Imagine Me and Utena, Fresh Podcast Market, That Looks Terrible, and producing some of your favorite shows, too. And Chad, we don't have your thing written here, but Chad writes books. Chad does Anonym Band. At Anonym Band on Twitter. Yeah?
That's the one.
And if you search for Chad Waller on Amazon.com, you should be able to find Chad's books.
You'll be able to find Dreamscape, Toyland, Grimoire Library, Fishing for Ghosts.
Ninth Life.
The Ninth Life. I think that's
all of them.
Sounds like
for
all
now.
Of them.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on this Star Wars journey through
Thanks for reading this book with us.
You know what? Hey, the book wasn't good, but wow, what a great time. Take care, all.
But the camaraderie, you can't replace it.
I miss you guys.
We miss you.
I know. I was gonna rate this on iTunes, but I don't feel like signing into iTunes. So
we almost got him. We almost did. You know, that's a success in my book. But remember, the only Star Wars character that matters is Jean-Luc.
Yes.
Good night, folks.
Night.
Oh, rip. Is that really your answer? That's crazy. Don't edit that out, though, okay? Don't. Wow. Must be. God, I love Star Wars.
No, first I played.
Even though I talk to you like every day, it's not the same.
And then I played the.
I'm sad when we don't hear it. Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, we're still.
Oh, that's recording. Unfortunate. Yeah, that's what I was playing. Hopefully you will, when you get to go edit this, you'll hear it and then also hear where I accidentally...
Is this the part where I'm supposed to say the one that I've jerked off to the most?
So, that's fun.
They have that level in VR chat, and you can also get a clone commando avatar
Emily
there.
Emily, play the theme song.
So you do the dance.
I've probably told this story before, but 1 year I got the...
I feel like the theme
like
song
the
is playing.
R2-D2 Xbox 360 for Christmas. And
the C-3PO controller. Oh.
And, yeah, and it came with the C-3PO controller. And it came with like Kinect Adventures and Kinect Star Wars. And I was able to trade in both of those games for a copy of Portal 2 at my local Best Buy.
I do love the Han Solo song, the Ride and Solo song
for Portal
2,
which ended up being my favorite game for a really long time. I wasn't complaining.
Yeah, the one person who's like, Star Wars is good.
Yeah, let's continue. I want to learn more.
I was not going to play the Star Wars dance game, John Luke.
Let's go.
Yeah, it was really dope, actually.
Fuck yeah. You traded in Kinect Star Wars. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable how much of a hater you are. No, I'm fucking with you. You absolutely made the right choice trading in those two pieces of shit for a game that's actually good. Like,